Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Wow. What a weekend. If you tell me your bracket is still intact, I'm going to call you the world's biggest liar. We're all busted. All brackets are busted. We're going to get into that NCAA. A lot of signings, free agent football-wise. We're going to touch on that. Tyloo out for a while with the Cavaliers. How would that impact them? And Golden State is running out a team without Klay, without Steph, without KD. We're going to talk about that as well. We have the one, the only, Ed Cole joining us probably about 10, 15 minutes or so. So he's going to hop on, fill in all that stuff with us. I'm going to give him just a fire football questions at him because he is always on top of anything and everything football. We're brought to you by the one, the only Madero's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located on school in Chatham Heights. We will be out there one day this week. I will definitely let you know. I do believe it is Wednesday, but I'll get back with everyone on that because I could be wrong. It definitely could be Thursday. I'll get back with you, but anyway, if you get out there, let them know the PLR sent you from the Cave Show. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located at Alma School, Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Don't just buy your sticks and take off. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs right up to a humidor. Sticks will always be good, will always be fresh. And like I said, let them know the PLR sent you. Take 10% off. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located in Chandler, Arizona, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Let me know PLR sent you. Again, take 10% off of any cigar purchase. Wow, with these brackets. Again, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. If you have any thoughts, questions, anything, feel free to give us a call, 917-889-7828. Phone lines are always, always open. Ed Cole joining us in about 10, 15 minutes right in that ballpark. We do have a caller online. Thank you for being patient, waiting for me to get over to you. This is PLR, who's in the cave with us.
Hey, Paul, this is Lou. Welcome back.
Lou, how are you, buddy? It was a great couple days off for March Madness that was really maddening for brackets out there.
Yes, it was. My bracket is gone.
Yeah, I think you can join the club with just about everybody. I was looking at brackets today, and in the group that I'm in, if we were putting money in it, that group, there's only like two guys alive, one guy that's still alive, and he picked Duke. Everyone else is. Is done. I mean, first we had the big upset with University of Maryland, Baltimore County. But before we could even get into that, that was going to be the big lead. But then Virginia lost. Then Xavier lost. Then Miami lost. Then Loyola kept winning. Then Nevada kept winning. Then Cincinnati lost. Then North Carolina lost. I mean, it was literally one after the next. Houston loses. Michigan State loses. It was crazy.
Yeah, this has to be the biggest upside down, in tournament history.
I had, for my Final Four, Arizona, North Carolina, mm-hmm. Villanova, and Michigan State.
And Carolina lost,
and
too.
And I changed. And here's what's crazy. Is what did you say lost?
I think North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. UNC. They
right.
They're out.
Okay.
And what's funny is I switched, and I was mad at myself for one day because I had Virginia in my Final Four, and I said, no, Virginia's going to lose somewhere, not in the first round. So I switched to Arizona. And so Arizona loses, and I'm like, wow, I should kick myself. But then Virginia loses. I'm like, so my whole region is gone. Then I turn around and North Carolina loses. And I'm like, I'm done. Completely done.
Yeah, most of us are.
On a football note, though, moving away from the tournament, Jets make a trade. Move up to number 3. I know you're in the New York area. Is that big news there?
That is a big move there, but also – you know, we got Bridgewater, which could be good, but at the same time, you know, with him being so injury-prone, I don't know. That does kind of worry me.
Do you think that they have a – okay, let me ask this. I'm really confused at what the Jets are doing, and I'm going to be really honest with you on this one. They re-sign McCown. Then they bring in Teddy Bridgewater. But then they still need a quarterback. So then they move up. And usually you don't move up to draft a lineman.
You move up
to draft a quarterback. So what was the point? I guess what was the point of signing Bridgewater? I was already confused when they signed Bridgewater anyway. But I'm now even more confused. What was the point of signing him?
Yeah, because they needed a quarterback, and they thought that you know he'd be available after Cousins, you know, bolted from Minnesota. And they thought, well, who else could we get? Maybe we can go on to Bridgewater.
And from what I'm understanding, what I'm reading reports say they've already basically told McDowell that he was the starting quarterback. So is he the bridge quarterback, and then if something goes wrong, you go to Bridgewater, and then he becomes your bridge quarterback to the quarterback that you're drafting? And what quarterback are they in love with so much that they didn't think that one of the four wouldn't be there at number 6? I don't understand it. I mean, the only thing I can chalk it up to are the Jets just being the Jets again.
Possibly. Yeah.
We shall see, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll be as bad as last season.
Well, I give them kudos for last season. I mean, they didn't have a running back. They didn't have any wide receivers, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they made the trade with Seattle to get a wide receiver, but to get Kurtz. They Forte was hurt for most of the year, and obviously he's now since retired. I don't know. I don't know what direction they go. But for them to do the job that they did last year, that was an outstanding coaching job. I mean, when the season started, people said the Jets wouldn't win a game, but they won 3 more games than the Giants. So
that's right.
That's surprising, right there.
Yeah. Shows how much everybody else knows about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turning attention to basketball, there seems to be a bit of a problem with there seems to be a problem between teammates over a new book that's coming out.
No comment on that one.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
You know what? I think in-house things should stay in-house.
Right.
I know you're probably talking of the Rondo Ray Allen situation with the Ray Allen book. See, here's what I think. And this is going to make me sound old, but I think tall books should come when everyone is done with their career.
Exactly.
Or years after your career, if there's any part of the tell-all book that's still where a person is still playing, I would leave it out. I would wait. You know, I would hope with the money that he made, Ray Allen isn't hurting for money.
Yeah.
But he's his own. Ray Allen is just different. He wasn't part of the, I hate to call it a clique, but he wasn't part of the clique, the crew.
Right.
You know, and I don't think Rondo necessarily was a part of the crew or the clique, but I definitely think he was on outs with Ray Allen, and I think the one thing that him and the crew and the clique all had together in common was that none of them really cared for Ray Allen. So it almost puts him in just by the fact they had one mutual person they did not like. So, we'll see. Tell-all books are always interesting. It makes you wonder how much is fact, how much is fiction, and you know anything about any of them. If it comes out, they'll say it's not fact. Ray will say it's fact. But there's a lot of people to cook in that book. I mean, excuse me, his relationship with Rondo wasn't good, and relationship with, with Garnett wasn't good, and so we'll find out, Lou. We'll find out.
And Hardaway is going to become new coach of the LSU Tigers basketball team.
I thought it was Memphis. Is it LSU?
It's. Oh, I made a mistake. Maybe it was Memphis. I'll have to recheck that. But he is going to take over.
I thought it. Yep. He's going to Memphis. Worst kept secret in America.
Yeah.
So.
Because Smith wasn't doing the job.
No. But, well, my friend, I hope you join us for sure tomorrow. We'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot,
all right,
Paul.
Buddy. Hey, no worries. Talk to you then. Friend of the program, Lou. Love talking to him. Always has some good insight on what's going on. Right now, we got the man himself, my brother, my partner in crime. The one, the only. This man is so knowledgeable in just about every part of sports. He could probably sit here and talk just about any sport you want. He'll tell you if the Masters is wrong, is Tiger really back, if you want to talk golf, you want to talk NBA, he'll hit you with knowledge on everything that's going on there, from the Suns to the Houston football. He probably has, well, him and Adam Schefter are tight like that from back in the day, so he'll hit you with all that. No more needs to be said. You already know what I'm talking about. The one and only Ed Cole is on in the cave, on the Kelly Lackey Long Line. My brother, what's happening?
Well, let me provide you with some knowledge. It is Penny Hardaway is going to be the next coach of the University of Memphis, his alma mater.
Yes, he is. That is the worst-kept secret in America.
Yep.
Tubby's body just getting cold. It's not completely cold. It's just getting it's still lukewarm, and Penny's taking over.
Yeah. They haven't even gone through the cremation process or whatever they were going to go through before they did. It makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, he is Memphis. I mean, he is the face of Memphis basketball. He was such a huge star back there when he played for the University of Memphis. So it only makes sense that he would become the head coach. Plus, he's done so many good things there back in the high school ranks too, right?
High school and AAU.
Yes, AAU too.
You know what though, Ed? It's tough to go back to your school. I mean, I remember when Houston was trying to resurrect the program, and they went to Clyde Drexler, and that just didn't work out so well. And obviously, Clyde didn't have the high school or the AAU pedigree behind him that will probably help a lot with recruits. But it's hard to go back. To alma mater.
It is.
Job.
I mean, just ask Patrick Ewing. I mean, look what he went through this year with the Hoyas in his first year. You're right. It is extremely hard to go back to your alma mater because there's so many expectations. They expect you to win a national championship every single year. They expect you to win your conference tournament every single year. And these people don't realize how hard it is to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't even just go to him. Look at Chris Mullin. At the Johnnies, they went through a stretch where they lost 12, 13 games in a row.
Yeah, but they did pull off that big win over Duke, though. You remember that?
They did. they did. And it's just it's tough, though, because we remember these players as great players and what they did for the university, and the stories get talked about. But in all honesty, a 17-year-old, they don't know Chris Mullin from Chris Joseph. You know, they don't know Pat Ewing. They don't know how good Pat Ewing was. Now, Penny Hardaway, because he did high school ball and AAU ball, and everybody remembers the Little Penny commercials, he has a better shot. But a lot of guys, the older guys, no one remembers them from playing days.
Paul, Penny was in a much more closer generation to where they were compared to Patrick and what Chris Mullin were. They were back in the 80s. That was our generation. Penny came up in the 90s generation. He came up in the golden era. So to get more video and more information on Penny Hardaway is much more easier than Patrick Ewing or Chris Mullin or anybody from back in the 80s.
Yeah, because the YouTube video won't be quite as grainy.
Right, yeah. And it'll be in 1080p. It'll be in 16:9 HD.
Before we jump into this bracket, I want to talk a little bit of NFL with you. And the one thing that we had mentioned before you popped on, I know the Jets are interested in a quarterback, and I know they made the trade to move up from 6 to 3. It's obvious they have a 1A and a 1B plan. Otherwise, you don't move up. Because if there's 4 you like and it doesn't matter, you stay at 6. Because you spend 1, you spend less money on the quarterback. And 2, you know that all 4 of them won't be gone in the top 5. So they have to have a plan with someone that they know. But then why do you bring back McCown, and then why do you go out and sign Bridgewater if you're moving up to get one of the two guys that you really want? Can you explain that move to me?
Well, you got to figure, okay, if they get somebody at number 3, it's going to take that young man some time, whether it's I don't care who it is, if it's Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, no, whoever they pick in the third with a third pick. Do they want to get burned like they have in the past with quarterbacks that they've had on that roster that have not panned out? So they want to have somebody like Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. They know they didn't work out on Kirk Cousins. You know, they struck out on that as the Cardinals did, as the Broncos did. But that's another situation. They want to have some veteran leadership there, at least at the quarterback position. So if that number 3 quarterback does not pan out, if he does not compete in training camp and mini camp and OTAs and all this stuff, if he does not come out with the number 1 position as the number 1 quarterback, at least you've got Josh McCown, you've got Bridgewater, you've got those guys who have NFL experience, who can come out and lead an organization and competently lead an offense.
True, and you know, and I got all that. I just wonder why you signed Bridgewater. If McCown was your bridge to Bridgewater was your bridge to your rookie, what did you need Teddy Bridgewater for?
As a solid number 2, not to say that he cannot compete and become the number 1 quarterback. Not that he can't overtake Josh McCown and be the number 1 quarterback there. That's something that the Jets are going to have to figure out. That's something they're going to have to figure out as the offseason goes on. But you've got to have at least a solid number 2.
True.
I mean, look at what the Cardinals had to go through last season when Carson Palmer went down, and then that situation there. You know, you had to go to your backup quarterback, and then you had to go to your third-string quarterback after Drew Stanton went down. So you've got to have competent, healthy guys as backups.
You do realize Bear fans are saying, they signed Mike Glennon. I'm just saying.
Hey,
I know there's no
Paul,
winning.
Paul, look, he's a healthy – a competent quarterback, and in the National Football League, if you've got 2 arms, 2 legs, 2 eyes, and you can throw a football, you're guaranteed some kind of employment.
That's true. You look no further than Blake Bortles. I know I don't believe in winners and losers in off season. I really truly don't, because it's no guarantee that anything pans out. But how good will the Rams defense be now with their signings of Peters, the trade for Talib, Edomican Sue, and you match that up with Aaron Donald and the cats they already had there? On paper, how do you block Sue and Donald? And my original question, how good are they going to be on defense?
On paper, they should be excellent, like you said. Plus, you know, this is a Sean McVay's second year. I mean, of course, you know, he and the Rams took the world by a major storm last year. That was a tornado for the Los Angeles Rams to do what they did last season. But like you said, to add Sue, you've got arguably somebody that cannot be blocked in Aaron Donald. That kid is a freak of nature. That guy is unblockable. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like you said, you add Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. That's only going to make that secondary so much better. They're already good. Paul, they were already good. If these guys pan out, they're going to be, oh my gosh, they're going to be out. They're going to be incredible. They're going to be almost impossible to stop or score on.
Yeah. Yeah, when they got Kansas City, I think they just got sick of Peters because it can't be talent because he's one of the top 5-6 corners in the league. He's just a little off. But the Rams must be saying, hey, we got the personality that matters just because to leave is a whole different type of mental cat. I mean, he brings street hood to the field with the rope snatching. He's no joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to have a guy like that can get up in wide receivers' faces. He can get up in their grills, a la when him in the relationship with Michael Crabtree. It'll be interesting to see if the Ravens and the Rams play this year. I really hope they do. I would love to see Talib and Michael Crabtree part 3.
You know what makes that even more fun? If they play each other, that means that Baltimore has that whole NFC West, which means that not only does Crabtree have to run into him, he has to run into my man that played for Seattle still, add him to the
Richard
mix,
Sherman. Yeah.
Richard Sherman, who called him everything but a fraud 4 years ago or 5 years ago in the NFC title game. So he'll be facing both his nemesis. Now, I don't think they do just because I know the Cardinals play the Bears. So I think the NFC West is matched against the NFC Central for their full list, but you know what? It doesn't hurt to look. But Michael Crabtree, boy, you talk about someone who said, "Man, I don't want this. Not now." Who should be the number one quarterback drafted? Who would you take if you had the number one pick? What quarterback?
Oh man, I guess it's hard to go against the Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he impressed in the off season. He impressed during the season, a la getting the Heisman Trophy. I mean, why not go for Mayfield or Josh Rosen? I mean, it's up in the air, just like it is every year with quarterbacks. It's what you do in Indianapolis at the scouting combine. It's what you do in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. It's what you do over the course of a 4-year career if you stay 4 years in college. It's what you do, I guess, at your pro day. And evidently, he shined in all of those situations. So why would he not be the number one pick if it's not Saquon Barkley?
Do you think any of these quarterbacks, and I don't mean this in an insulting way by any stretch, but do any of these quarterbacks, you know, when Andrew Luck came out, like, oh, it's Andrew Luck.
Oh, and by the way, Paul, sorry. So the Ravens do not play the Rams this year. They do play the Chargers.
They don't.
No, they don't.
Yep. They have the NFC South, not the NFC West.
And they got the AFC West. Yep.
Yes. So, Ed, you know, when Wentz and Goff came out, there was kind of a no doubt, you know, who would go, that those are the top two guys for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When Andrew Luck came out, top two guys for sure. This group of five, because I throw Heisman winner, trophy winner Jackson in as well. Are there any one of them that you honestly can say can't miss? Do any of those five have a can't miss on it?
Not really. Not to me. Not like Goff and Lynch. No. I mean, I think they're all going to be very good quarterbacks in time as they get into the league and they get playing time and they develop. But none of these guys are just like, oh my gosh, I got to have him at number one, two, or three. He's a must have. Not really.
It makes me almost think that if you're a team that can get by with a quarterback and buy time, why not wait and see what's up next year? But like for Cleveland, I understand everyone gets on them for missing on a quarterback. But if you're not in love with any of these guys, and you're Cleveland and you just signed Tyrod Taylor, and you just traded for Jarvis Landry, you have so many more needs that why not get the pieces that you need instead of just being forced to take a quarterback that none of them are slam dunks?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Tyrod Taylor is mincemeat. He's a good quarterback. And maybe a change of pace, a change of scenery, a new team will reinvigorate him even more. Because he showed flashes in Buffalo. He's a very good quarterback. I like him.
Well, we saw they played without him last year. And I think that just tells you about him. We saw what they did without him. Online with me on the Carry Like You Online, the one, the only, Ed Cole. Ed, switching topics. Cleveland, Ty Lue will be out taking a break over health issues. Any other time, and now it's still a big deal, but any other time this would be huge. With Cleveland playing the way they're playing, I don't want to say does it matter, but does it really matter in how far you think they'll go in the playoffs if he's out for this last stretch of regular season games?
Oh, if coach is not he's not there for the rest of the season, probably not, because we all know that LeBron is the de facto head coach in Cleveland anyway. You know.
Yeah. How deep?
I think with everything that's going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the job that Tyronn Lue has done to keep them together as much as he can to where they are right now, I thought he's done a fantastic job considering. They pretty much overhauled their entire roster during the trade deadline and right before the All-Star break and everything else that went on with this team. And for him to be where they are, even though they had a rough road trip out there, they lost twice in L.A. to the Lakers and Clippers, even though they did pound the Suns pretty well. But, you know, that is what it is.
How far can they get? I know every year people say, well, LeBron's been there 7 years in a row. You don't count him out.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a year where it's fair? Cause I didn't pick him to go to the finals before the season started, but that was before I knew Gordon Hayward would only play 45 seconds of the year. I picked Boston. But I do like the new look Toronto. I love the fact that they have a bench now. It's just a waiting to see if Kyle Lowry doesn't disappear in the playoffs, because we know DeMar DeRozan is not going to disappear. He is, to me, emerges as one of the best players in the NBA. But 40-29, Ed, I don't think there's a switch this year that they can flip. I just don't see them getting past Toronto.
And I don't see that. There's no switch that you can flip 70 games into the season, Paul. That's going to be a short light bulb. That's going to take a long time for that light bulb to heat up. You've got 12 games left in the season before you hit the playoffs. And like you said, I like Toronto or Boston over them. And, you know, even without John Wall, I think the Wizards could give them a run. I think the Indiana Pacers could give them a run, the way the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing right now. And they're 18-18 on the road. You go to Toronto in a seven-game series where that team's only lost six games at the Air Canada Center, good luck trying to win that series.
Yeah, I'm not – see that everyone talked, you know, they won that first game after the trades, and everyone was happy and giddy and jumping up and down and like, wow, we were relieved. I think a lot of this will happen based on, one, Kevin Love coming back and how healthy is Kevin Love going to be. Mm-hmm. But, Ed, you can't throw young guys in the playoffs for the first time and have any type of expectation. And if you're playing heavy minutes to Clarkson and heavy minutes to Nance Jr., they've never been in the playoffs before. So you know what you're going to get from LeBron. You know what you're going to get from Kevin Love. To some extent, you know what you're going to get from Hill. George Hill, but that's really it. I mean, Tristan Thompson is still suffering from that injury. We call it the Kardashian curse. So we don't know what we're going to get. JR is hot and cold. This is a very – this might be the most flawed LeBron team that I could think of in a long time.
Yeah, I'd say the most flawed in, since his first run at the NBA Finals. Their one run when they played the Spurs in the championship, when his, in his first run in Cleveland. Yeah.
So I don't.
But
I don't,
you know,
I don't know.
But number 20, LeBron's going to do what he has to do. He'll take the team on his shoulders, as he always does. He'll take the weight of the world and the Cleveland Cavaliers on his shoulders and ride them as far as he can until he can't do it anymore. Until you can knock out number 23 and beat them in a 7-game series, I mean, Cleveland's still going to be dangerous. You know, like you said, it's going to be an interesting wake up call for Clarkson and Nance Jr. and the rest of these young puppies to see what they do in the playoffs when everything is intensified and you make the slightest mistake and that can lead to your death knell in the playoffs. You can be out.
Yeah. Ed, there are 9 teams in the NBA that have lost 45 games or more with 15 to 20 games left for each of them. Never before in the NBA has there been 9 teams that have lost over 50 games during the same season. How much more do you expect the LA Lakers and Magic Johnson, who are saying, we're not tanking out the season because losing becomes one of those things that's hard to shake. We're young kids. We're young. We're trying to win games. Lottery be damned, it'll fall where it may, but we're trying to win games. And they're 31-38, 6-4 in their last 10. And they're going 4 wins. How much more do you respect what Magic is trying to instill in LA versus 9 teams that are trying to tank to land that one player, which probably as a 19-year-old will not have any immediate impact on their team anyway?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Magic. We're talking about arguably one of the top 5 greatest players of all time in my top 5, top 10 list. You would never expect a team that's backed by Magic Johnson that has his stamp, his imprint on it, to go out and lose and tank and win and lose 50, 60 games just because, oh, we want to get a top draft pick. I'm looking at this team right now. I like these young kids. I like these puppies. These kids go out and ball, man. Yeah, they lost on Friday to the Heat. That was a tough loss at home. You know, the 92-91 loss. But like you said, they fight, and they fight hard. Lonzo Ball may not have the best stats in the league, but that kid balls when he's healthy. I like this team. And then I like the addition of Isaiah Thomas. I knew as soon as he was going to go to L.A., he was going to be that veteran spark and that guy that would go in the locker room and tell these young kids, look, this is what we have to do. I don't care what every other team in the NBA is doing. They may be losing. They may be like the Memphis Grizzlies who lost 19 games in a row. But we're not going to be the team that loses 19 in a row. We're going to go out and fight hard every single night and daggone what our record comes out as. Whatever our record is, we're going to fight hard. And whatever that is, hey, let the chips fall where they may. But we're not going to make it our fault because we have a poor record.
Yeah, I love it. I really do. And over the summer, when we get close to draft, we'll get into ways that the NBA should possibly tweak this draft to make it down the line, make drafts better, more entertaining, more fair, and get rid of the tanking all together. On an off note, how can Steven? Yeah.
With everything that's going down with all this tension between the coaches and the players and the refs, this stuff that Stan Van Gundy had some comments. Oh my gosh! Other coaches have had comments. They got on Dwayne Casey. They gave him a technical and ejected him for a situation on Sunday that he wasn't even a part of. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What? How do they fix this situation? I mean, there's so many issues going on in the league, and then the league is sniping back at the referee association on Twitter, on social media. There is a definite disconnect that they've got to fix. They've got some real issues going on in this league right now.
There is, and it's because you have new refs that have the baseball ump mentality, where sometimes I think baseball umps think people come to see them play. And there were a couple refs in the old days that were like that. But now, like Carmelo said, it's hard to even talk to a referee. back in the day, and you remember, players used to be able to speak to refs. They put, on timeouts, they pull them aside, they talk to them.
Sure.
Refs talk back, say, look, I know you thought it was a foul, but it really wasn't a foul. Or, hey, it may have been a foul, but we didn't call the last five on you. You know, so you got to play the game. You had those conversations. Now, you don't have that. It's almost like the ref is, I've already told you, you go sit down. And we don't just see it at the pro level. What about the ref that turned his back on the kid in college? The kid tried to talk to him, he just turned his back to him. So I think it's a whole mentality right now with refs. And they miss call. Look, I know that I may sound like I'm being unfair, but the refs miss calls a lot. And I don't mean foul calls. I mean, they let people just flat out travel, change pivot foots. They don't call that, but they don't call some bull crap out of nowhere. And I think that's where the players are getting frustrated with. Or it's a foul in the first quarter, and it's not a foul in the third quarter. But to answer the question specifically, how do they fix that, I think the refs have to go into a meeting with players. And the players have to show up to the meeting this time. And they have to just open air do it. And the NBA has to put their foot down and say, these are the things we want called. These are the things we want officiated. These are the things we want. If this group can't do it, then let's get a group in that can. Just that simple.
Exactly. You know, I agree with that. But, man, it's just really bad. Oh, my gosh. It's creating a really bad stain, a black eye on the league. They've got to fix this.
Yeah, there's no Earl Strom anymore. Dick Pavetta's, they're gone.
Yeah.
Eddie Rush, they're gone. I do have a question for you, though, before we get into college basketball. How come everyone kicks Steven Adams in a ding-ding? He got kneed in a ding-ding again last night against the Raptors. What did this man do to the league? And at what point does he just need to lose it and cold cock someone?
Well, of course, that won't do anybody any good if he does that. But yeah, you're right. There has to be a time where he has to defend himself, and that's another situation. It's you know, all oh my gosh, man, it's just so many underlying issues with this league, and you know, more power to him for not really. Retaliating or anything like that, but there would be a breaking point for me, Paul, just like I know there will be one for you.
Yeah. That man gets hit in a ding-ding more than anybody, dude. At some point, you have to think coincidental. Not when it becomes that obvious all the time. Because he gets hit in a ding-ding as much as Sean Bradley got dunked on. And we know how much Sean Bradley got dunked on.
A lot.
A lot. Online with us, the one, the only, Ed Cole. If you tell me, Ed, on the Kerry Lackey Online, if you tell me that your bracket is still intact, I am not going to believe you. What the hell happened this first weekend?
Oh man, it started with the very first 16 knock off the number one. That was incredible. I was hoping they would win last night, but you know, for UNBC representing Maryland, of course, for them to do what they did and you know and create history, and I love their social media, the way they handled it social media wise. I thought that was fantastic, but I mean it's great. You know, it just creates parity, and it just lets everybody know that why can't a 16 beat number one? Those kids at UNBC are just as good, if not more talented than any other kid and the other team in college basketball. It just so happens that they're in a different conference on a different level, and they're not as shown or followed nationally because they're not a national powerhouse. But I'll tell you what, everybody knows who UNBC is now.
Well, I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like none of it. I don't like no part of it. And you know why I don't like a man?
And why?
Because the night before, there's a school in Tucson that got knocked out. And that would have been the story knockout all of Friday if Virginia didn't lose. But no, Virginia had to lose
Yeah, so that,
so then
so
the story
takes,
stops.
Takes, so Arizona's off the hook, right?
Yeah, it pushes them down. They were no longer a story.
Yeah.
Because
Maryland. I know how you love for every team down in Tucson to be in the negative spotlight.
But no, they wouldn't let me have my happiness. You know, I can't be happy. And that's basically what it boiled down to. I can't be happy because they were getting blasted. Sean Miller in that press conference, that shirt was wet more than it is in a game. But no.
No.
No. No. But at what will, and all kidding aside, what will U of A do? Because their players were declaring for the draft on the way to the locker room after that loss. And
yeah,
Shaq's son has already decommitted. And rumor has it there's not going to be a lot of people that are going to be willing to come there until this investigation is done. So you're losing your pro players, and you are losing your future pro players. Will U of A take a big hit next year? And are they going to fall to mediocrity, which is something that hasn't been done since Lute left Iowa to come out there, you know, almost 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to even fathom that a team that's won a national championship not recently, but within the last – when did they win, 97? They won
97
the national championship.
But it's memorable. It's still in people's memory.
Yeah,
and they're
still
competitive
yeah.
every year.
Yes, every single year they're in the top 10, you know, and they're always competing at least for a run at the Final Four. But for them to be in the situation they are right now, I mean, who would ever think that team down in Tucson, that organization, will be in this kind of trouble right alongside their football team?
It's really amazing, and like I said, you know me, I'm always throwing shade at them. But in this one, I'm really being honest. Is this the beginning of the fall of them for a while anyway, just because of who's leaving and who's not coming?
I guess it depends on what they do with Sean Miller. I guess whatever happens with this investigation and whether he remains the head coach or not, if they decide to make a move like they did with their football team when they let Rich Rodriguez go, maybe they do let Sean Miller go and they go another direction and get another head coach. That's what's going to determine what happens with these recruits, because you know these kids are looking at this school, but they know how good this organization is and how good it has been in the past and how it can be. But they want to see what the leadership is going to be like at that organization. Am I going to come to Tucson, and are we going to have stability at that at that school? If not, I need to move on, just like these kids that have already declared, okay, we're going to the NBA. Okay, I'm not coming to Arizona. I'm going somewhere else, because I don't know what my future holds here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ed, when you look at these brackets and you see all these people that have fallen, I read somewhere today that some people think there should be a reseeding. I don't think there should be. It just, this is what happened. Do you think there should be a reseeding?
No, no. The field of 68 was set the way it was, and that's the way it should be. You know, teams fall, teams lose. You know, like Xavier lost yesterday, that stuff happens. Yes, you had two number ones lose in the same weekend. That hasn't happened for a long, long time. And, yes, I think it just happens. That's basketball. I like the fact that there's, you know, the future is yet to be determined, that there's no clear national champion run right now, because you never know what could happen from game to game. Guys, you could get a bad run. A team could have a bad night, and you're out. I don't care if you are the number one, two, three, four seed. You can be gone.
Yeah. How happy do you think?
I like that.
Coach K.
I like that nobody knows what's going to happen. That's the way the tournament should be. You know, Arizona, Wichita State, Miami, they all lost because they played poorly. If you play poor, you lose and you're out. That's what the tournament's all about.
Biggest story in the Sweet 16. Loyola, Chicago, or Nevada, and they play each other. What's the bigger story?
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's a tough one, huh?
Says they should. Yeah, ESPN says Nevada should be reseeded to a number two.
Yeah.
Now that we talk about the reseeding.
it makes no sense. For my Final Four, Ed, I had Arizona, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Villanova. I switched to Arizona because originally I had Virginia in there. And and at the last second, I made a swap. It wouldn't have mattered, though, because they're both now absolutely out. But I've never seen one of pretty much every team that could be picked is out already. It's amazing.
That is crazy. And then what's also amazing is the run that Syracuse is having right now. And that started with a win over the Sun Devils, unfortunately, over in Dayton. But the fact that Jim Boeheim has these guys in the Sweet 16, I mean, that's a fantastic story. Like you said, Loyola of Chicago. Yes, Florida State knocking off Xavier yesterday. There's so many great stories. Michigan is on a run right now. I think this is great. Texas Tech, yes.
Yeah.
Kansas State is still in it. This is awesome. Teams that you would very rarely expect to be in the Sweet 16 are making runs like this. That just goes to show that there's a shift. And like Leonard Hamilton said, maybe there is a revolution in college basketball right now.
Yeah, you never know. Hell, Texas A&M, they got some beasts on the inside.
They did try to get some rebounds against those boys. Yeah, they embarrassed the national champs yesterday.
You know our friend Kara Luck wasn't feeling good after that game, right?
Right.
she wasn't feeling good at all. So I gotta ask you, who wins it all now?
And just like our brother Ed Smith, I know he was dying after that game.
Oh my goodness, because you know he saddles up and rides UNC hard. Who wins this now? Duke, Kansas, Villanova, Dark Horse Michigan, Dark Horse A&M? Does Gonzaga finally get to a Final Four? Who is it now?
Mm. Who is it? Like, I mean, because I could easily see if Syracuse plays the defense that they played, that they've been playing so far, I could see them knocking off Duke. Yeah, Duke's good and everything, but, I mean, you play defense at this level, at this late in the season, the way Syracuse is playing, why couldn't they make a run at the Final Four? You know, of course you would look at Villanova and say, oh, yeah, you know, why they should be a Final Four pick, yes. But why can't it be West Virginia? I'm just scrolling down. I'm looking at the list now. West Virginia, Kentucky, all of these teams are good. Texas Tech, they're good. Purdue, these teams are all good.
it's all in the air, my friend. All in the
That's
air.
That's right.
It's all in
the team that can win six games in a row. That team is the one, and we're still trying to figure out who that team that can win six straight is. But they're definitely in this 16, though.
They are. You know what's really funny? The mafia known as the NCAA, you know they're not happy right now because their ratings, they are, could you imagine if you have a Syracuse, Texas A&M, Loyola, Texas Tech
Chicago.
Final Four, they will cry like a baby.
Of course.
So,
but hey, I mean, with the seeding, that this is what they made. They made this field 68, and these are the teams that they let in. So whatever plays out, I mean, that's on them. They chose these teams.
And it's what they get because, you know what, as much as I'm not a U of A fan, they were a two-seed team, not a four. So by putting them at a four, you made their competition better. So you did it to yourself.
Yep.
So no sympathy for them whatsoever.
But again, I was thinking, because you get these young kids, man, from these schools that don't get as much national airplay as a Villanova or a Duke or a North Carolina. I love that you get to see these kids, like the kids from UMBC, even though, you know, I know they dashed your dreams, but still the fact that they came in and they created history. I read a stat where the number ones were 135-0 against number 16s before that happened.
Going into that game, 135-0.
Yeah.
You know what? Next year, I bet you we'll see some different seedings. I bet you we do. But you can't get any worse than that, though. I mean, they tried their best. They tried their best to get Virginia through because do you know that going into that game, UMBC was ranked number 177th in the country. They had not beat Vermont in Vermont in 23 years. So Virginia really had the easiest number one. They just couldn't score.
Yeah.
So that's the way that ball bounces. Listen, I'll let you go, but I got to ask you this. You sent me a text the other night, and you were talking about the Suns and how they had a lead on the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State.
And some,
yeah.
And I sent you a text back saying, Golden State will find a way. It doesn't matter. If you're Golden State now, do you even really worry about the regular season? Or do you just say, you know what, Houston, take home court. We're good enough to beat you when healthy, and you just let your guys get right.
Yeah, I think they do that, Paul. You let your guys get healthy because they're still very solidly a number two. I mean, Portland's 9 games behind them, when it comes to the seedings in the Western Conference. So I think they're pretty much safe that they're going to be the number two seed in the Western Conference come playoff time. And if it plays out that way, they'll play San Antonio, who hasn't had the best year. Dude, I'm looking – San Antonio, I just know they're 14-22 on the road. When's the last San Antonio Spurs team that's been 8 games under 500 on the road? That's
what was the last time they – yeah, what was the last time they were in jeopardy of even making the playoffs?
Yes.
I mean,
you're right,
5
Paul.
Days ago,
they're
they told us they would have been out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're 2 games away from being the 9 seed.
Yeah.
That's how close Denver is to getting in. Wow.
Yep.
So the question to you is do they bring Kawhi Leonard back? Will he make a difference for them?
Well, he'll definitely make a difference. My worry, though, is do they have time to get him readjusted? Because what happens is when he comes back, the role that LaMarcus Aldridge had, the role that Patty Mills had, the role that Tony Parker had, all their roles now change because Kawhi is back. Now, granted, you've played with them before, but every season is different. So is there enough time to adjust? Would I take the chance? Sure, because what do you have to lose? He's one of the top 10 players in the league. But I don't think he comes back and makes much of a difference in them beating either Houston or Golden State. I think, if anything, they want to push to the 5 seed and take on OKC. And I think that's what they would have in mind. Or even if it is OKC, if OKC can last at number 5.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma City is
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say they're the conundrum because just when you thought they were done, now they're winning 6 games in a row. So you just don't know, because when they click, they click. When they don't, they don't. So
they don't click.
You just don't know with them. Yeah. So
and see, Paul, here's the situation. Here's a situation where you look at the standings. You see that Utah, New Orleans, and San Antonio, and Minnesota. Utah, New Orleans, San Antonio, they all have the same record. So bringing a guy like Kawhi Leonard back at this stage in the game, where seeding, like you said, is so very important, that could be the difference between being a 7 or a 5 seed.
Yeah.
So, bring him back and let's see what he can do to get those guys a higher seed so they don't have to play Golden State in the first round.
You know, to be honest with you, I think – Minnesota drops. If the Nuggets can find a way to just win a few more of these games, I think Minnesota drops
and
out.
Not, and,
I think Jimmy Butler,
and,
Butler not
and
being
not
there
lose
kills them.
To, and not lose to a team that had lost 19 games in a row before that. How crushing was that loss to Memphis the other night? Oh, that really hurt.
Yeah, you can't do that. You simply can't do that. But
no.
Minnesota without Jimmy Butler is not Minnesota.
No, they're not.
The young guys don't play well without him. And I don't know if you've noticed this.
But, man, they're a whole different team without
him. It's different.
Butler. I love
– without Jimmy Butler. These young guys have all the talent in the world. But without a veteran guy to know how to close games, you just don't win in the NBA.
Yep.
It doesn't happen. And, you know, J.J. Redick may not be a superstar – perennial all-star, but he is a veteran guy that knows to tell you what place to be in when a game is about to close. And with him being back, notice how Philadelphia is playing better than when he wasn't there, because those guys know how to close games and how to win. It's just that simple.
Yep.
So if everything works out, if everything stays the same, do you think the Sixers could give Cleveland a run in the playoffs? If this plays, because right now Cleveland and Philly will play each other.
A run, yeah. If you consider a run, six games.
Yeah.
You know what? I may not be betting on LeBron to win a title, but I'm not going to bet against him to get out of the first round.
Yeah. I agree. Yep.
You know, that I'm not going to do. Now, let me say this. If Kevin Love is out, it makes everything a lot closer. And I think it's funny, Ed, and think about this. Everyone takes a dump on Kevin Love, but without him, look at what Cleveland is.
Oh, yeah. They're a much different team with Kevin Love in there, with an all-star in there. Of course they are.
Yep. He's the girlfriend that you don't appreciate till she's not there, and then you want her back.
Right.
Yep. You don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate what you had. You always think there's something better. You always think if you do this, it'd be better. If you went to this club, you could find someone hotter. If you went to a culinary place, you could find someone to cook, but you could do everything. But you never realized that she was the one that was holding everything together for you. That's Kevin Love.
Yep. That's right.
So we shall see. We got 2 minutes left, so I want to ask you this one quick question. We see all these upsets on the men's side, but UConn's still beating people by 88 points. Can they get beat?
No. I saw that score, and I texted you. I was like, they beat them 140-52. I think, and that wasn't even the biggest margin in women's tournament history. 89 was the biggest win ever. But 88 points, Paul. I think they scored 55 in the first quarter.
Yeah. And he calls the dogs off. He puts it in the second string.
Paul, they could have scored 300 points on that team if they really wanted to.
Yeah. Yep. That's UConn. Very important question. And I really want you to really stop and think about this, because this is very important. Better episode of Martin. This is our get out shot. Better episode of Martin. Episode he doesn't want to pay the $5 extra.
Yeah.
On his rent.
I ain't paying the five.
Locked in.
I ain't paying the $5.
Or the episode where he pretends to be Nino Brown when his CD player gets borrowed by Hustle Man. Better episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Martin. That the CD player was all that.
Yep.
Oh, it had to be the $5. No, the Nino Brown episode was great. Oh, my gosh. I'm going – the Nino Brown episode. I got to go with that one. That was classic. With the stuffed dog. Yeah.
And what made it the best is Tommy was dying laughing at the end of the table. And he was trying to stop laughing so he could stay in character. I think that's what made it. I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that. Brother, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
On Twitter and Instagram at EdCole43. Hit me up.
Man, I appreciate you. I really do. This is like old times.
Yes, sir.
And,
thanks for having me on.
I didn't get to hear, no doubt, I didn't get to hear the entire show because, you know, I got these two freeloaders living here. They had a basketball game, but you tore it up on Brother Ed's show on Saturday, too, from what I'm hearing. So congratulations, man. You know, you're the most hardest working man in the valley.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm just trying to get to you and Ed and Jim Marshall's level. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle, but I'm fighting my way up there.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you now.
All right, brother. Love you, man. Take care.
All right.
Later.
All right, love you too. All right, y'all. That's the Cave Show. Till tomorrow when we're back again. Please join us. This is PLR. This has been the Sports Cave. The Cave Show. Have a good day.